We were made to love and be loved. Amen? Or no? Amen. Come on. So, if you're taking notes, let's get this bread. That's the title of my sermon. That's what people see as success, is getting bread, is getting money. That's success for people. Let's get this bread. Let's get this dough. Success is viewed as receiving something, receiving money. A lot of people, it's money, right? It's yeet this wheat, let us attain or obtain the grain. Let's feast on this yeast. Let's empower this flour. Let's go with the dough. Let's entrust this crust. Let's get this bread. So what is my point, though? You're like, that's a very interesting thing, Johnny. I don't know what your point is. Let's go to John 6 so we can get to the point. John 6, after this, verse 1. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. You know what's funny? God asks us questions not because he needs an answer, but because he wants us to ask the same question. Have you ever said, God's like, oh, what do you want to do this for? Like, God knows the heart of people. God knows the answer. Sometimes he'll ask you, so you ask yourself. He's not looking, but he's like, oh, I'm going to ask them because I have no idea what they're thinking. Like, he knows what you're thinking, but he wants you to be able to know what you're thinking. Amen? So he said this to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. That's a lot of bread. 200 denarii. That's a lot of bread. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for? So what are they for so many?" Yeah. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down. About 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, notice here, when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, so they didn't just like have a snack, they got a whole entree, they were full of food. He told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled the 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. 12 baskets, guys. I don't think they're a little cute, you know. Let's go to basket weaving class and make some they were pretty big baskets, I'm assuming. Okay, 12 filled baskets, and everybody got full. Sounds like a good day, right? Food, good word, Jesus preached probably. So when we give thanks for what God provided, notice they did not have enough for 5,000 people. How many times do we feel like we don't have enough? For 2 people even. Or we don't have enough for in something in our lives, right? But look at this. Jesus didn't see that, oh, this is not enough. I guess, you know, whatever. We're going to feed my disciples and we're going to bounce. No, Jesus took what was provided, and what did he do? No, he didn't distribute. He's just like, oh, here, whoever gets it, right? Here's a free t-shirt. And they fight. No, he looked up. Let's see what he says. When he had given thanks. So he gave thanks for what he had, even though in people's eyes that was not enough. When we give thanks for what God provides, things begin to happen. Thanksgiving to the Lord does something to us and the atmosphere. When you're like, I don't have enough, but you give thanks and that enough, guess what? He becomes enough. When I say, oh, I don't have enough money, or I don't have enough this or that, when you give thanks for what you have, guess what? It changes the way you think. It changes your position before Him. It gives hope that He's going to provide. He's like, God, you already provided this much. I know you can provide more. And we see that thanksgiving for what was provided, even though was little, resulted in abundance that overflowed. Look, He gave thanks, and it wasn't just like enough to feed all the people. He got 12 extra baskets full. 12 extra baskets full. When we give thanks for what we have, you will see that it will transform you and how it will give you hope and how peace and joy overflow. Amen? No matter how little you have, you can always give thanks to the Lord. Thanksgiving positions our heart towards Him and what He has done. When we say, God, you did this, you're going to do it again. Thanksgiving reminds us that God will do it again. Thanksgiving reminds us of who He is. Amen? So bread. Bread. Who loves bread? Wow, just one person. I love bread. If you ever go to like a restaurant and they provide free bread, like Texas Roadhouse or like Outback, that bread, Cheesecake Factory, I'm saying. That bread, you want it all, Olive Garden, breadsticks, come on. Bread is one of those things. Did you know bread is one of the oldest man-made foods? One of the oldest man-made foods is bread. It's a prominent food. What does prominent mean? You're using nerd language. It means it's a very important food. It's one of the main things we eat. It's a grain, right? It's something people survive off. Literally, people survive off of bread. Israel survived in the desert off of bread. Angel food. Cake, right? Angel food cake. It was bread. It was angel's bread, manna from heaven, right? It's something that gives us our fill. If you know, why do they feed you so much like bread? Because it fills you up. You make a fat sandwich, it's going to fill you up. You just eat meat. My dad always tells me, Sinok, snada с хлебом кушать мясо, а то ты не наешься. Right? Who knows that? Because bread fills us up. Amen? Someone say amen. Amen. Verse 22. So bread is pretty important, right? On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had only been one boat left there. And Jesus had not entered the boat with His disciples, but that His disciples had gone away alone. So we skipped a couple of verses. Basically, the disciples went into a boat. They went away, and Jesus stayed on He went into to pray on the mountain. And the crowds like noticed, oh, well, one boat's gone, but Jesus didn't go. What happened, right? Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor His disciples, they themselves got into boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found Him on the other side, because this is after Jesus walked on the water and stepped into the boat, right? They said, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered, truly, He didn't answer like, oh, you know, I just walked on water a couple hours ago. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, He like doesn't even answer their question. Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. You ate your fill of the loaves. Not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill with the loaves. Now some people, you know, there's some people like, oh, they just followed Jesus because they were, you know, selfish for themselves. They wanted to get stuff from Him. Right? That's an aspect you can take maybe on this story. But when I was reading this, I feel like God gave me a different perspective. It says, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, not because you saw miracles, but because you got your fill from the loaves. See, signs, wonders, and miracles are awesome. Amen? Like, I want to see miracles. I want to see signs. I want to see wonders. I want to see all this stuff. And it helps us draw closer to Him, right? It can help us draw closer. It can help us pull ourselves closer to God because He's a God of miracles. I'm not trying to say signs and wonders, they don't do anything. They absolutely do. But look at this. Jesus said, "You are not seeking me because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill with the loaves." They were seeking Him because they ate their fill with their loaves. Not because of signs, but because they got filled. We seek things in life to get our fill. I've heard so many testimonies, people experiencing a miracle, people experiencing a healing, people experiencing all these things. But guess what? Some of them are not even with God anymore. People will look to get filled because there's many empty people on this earth. There's something in our heart that is crying out for more. There's something in our heart that wants to know more, that wants to be filled with more, that wants joy, that wants peace, right? We will seek things that we think will fill us, that satisfy us. Basically, we're looking for something that will satisfy. If you're empty, you're not satisfied, right? You're sad. It's like when you eat a big meal and you're like, "Man, I'm so full, I'm satisfied." That's what you say. Get some steak, yes, I love steak. You get full of that and what? You're satisfied. In life, we're trying to get full of something, to be satisfied, whether you like it or not. I'm going to go to this because I'm going to end up empty. Who says that? Nobody. We usually go where we want to get filled, where we want to get satisfied, amen? So look at this. There are so many things that try to get our attention. True? Not true? Why do you got billboards? Why do you have commercials? I mean, it's always these fast food commercials. The satisfying burger. Satisfy, satisfy, satisfy. The filling burger. Things are trying to get our attention to say this will satisfy you in life. Pictures will try to get your attention to say this will satisfy you in life. People who are successful on the beach, just a beach day, and you're like, "Wow, that person's satisfied." Or their Instagram, it looks like, "Wow, they're satisfied." There's so many things that try to get our attention and say, "This will satisfy you, this will fill you, this will fulfill you." But we end up not being satisfied and empty again. Who has been there? Saying, "Man, this is going to make me so happy," and then you're like, "Dang, that kind of sucked actually." Or, "Wow, that wasn't worth it." Or, "Wow, like I really regret that now." Sin will also trick you, say, "Oh, if you do this, guess what? You're going to be good. You're going to feel good. You're going to do this. Yeah, yeah." But we end up being broken and empty and even feeling dirty. Verse 27, "Do not work for the food that perishes." Food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on Him God the Father has set His seal. So what is food that perishes versus food that endures, lasts, sustains to eternal life? Food that perishes. This is temporary satisfaction. This is temporary fill. There's so many things. Guess what? The compliments of people will only temporarily fill you. The affirmation of people will only temporarily fill you. Having riches will only temporarily fill you. Sin will always only temporarily fill you. You might like feel satisfied for a little bit, but guess what? At the end of the day, you're going to feel empty. Why? Because it's temporary food. It's food that perishes. Food that perishes. What is the food that lasts, endures, sustains to eternal life? Verse 28. Then they said to Him, What must we do to be doing the works of God? So Jesus said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures the life." And they're like, "Well, what must we do to be doing the works of God so we can have this eternal life and have this food, right?" What does Jesus answer them. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him in whom he has sent. That's how you work for your food. You believe. It's like, Johnny, that doesn't make sense. I'm believing, I don't see no food. It says right here that you believe in him who he has sent. The work of God is that we believe. Working for food is believing in him. I don't mean believing by like, oh, I believe there's a God. I believe Jesus is somewhere there. Believing drives you to action. Believing like promotes action. I always use this example. If you're in a plane and you're going skydiving, if you believe you have a parachute, you're going to jump. It'll drive you to jump, right? If you don't believe you don't have a parachute, you're never going to jump out of that plane. But when you believe, you have something to push you to action, amen? The same with God. When we believe in Jesus, it pushes you to action. It makes you want to take risks. It makes you walk in faith. It makes you walk in love and grace and peace and joy and all of that good stuff. Amen. Working for food is believing in him. Believing in him will satisfy you, will bring you food. We'll get into more depth in a sec. Verse 30. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you... Like, these people are funny, dude. They just got their fill. They just got full of bread and fish. And they're like, what sign will you do for us? He just fed 5,000 people. Like, I don't understand. If I would... I don't know if I would ask that. You know, I don't want to judge, but, you know. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. They just saw a miracle and they're like, show us a sign. Sometimes we forget that quick that God did something in our life. And we're like, God, show us a sign that I may believe in you. Show us a sign that you prove yourself to me. He just did so much in our lives. He saved us. And we're asking for a sign. God, prove something to me. He already proved his love on the cross 2,000 years ago. And sometimes we're like, God, give me a sign so I can believe. What work do you perform? And they ask for a sign, and you know what he replies? He replies with himself. He replies with himself. He's like, what sign? What do you mean a sign? I am the sign. He replies with himself. He is the source, he is the sign. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They ask, what is the sign? What is the work you perform? And he's like, I'm the sign, I'm the work. Oftentimes we ask Jesus for questions or a sign, and Jesus is like, am I not enough? Am I not the sign? Am I not the answer? It's like, God, I want peace in my life. Guess what? Jesus is peace. He's the person of peace. Peace is not the absence of chaos, but the presence of someone. We ask God, show us a sign. He's like, I am the sign. If the sign doesn't point to him, what is the point of the sign? God will always do a miracle. God will always show a wonder or a sign. Why? To point to himself, to give himself glory. He's not just going to do it like, there you go. Have fun. It's going to draw us near to him. Amen? Verse 34, they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Give us this bread always. He just said, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Give us this bread always. He just said, the bread of God is a person who comes down. They're asking, God, give us this person. God, give us this. Because we're all seeking a person. We're all seeking to be loved. We're all seeking to be filled by something. And they're like, give us this bread always. We want to be filled with this bread. Jesus is telling them that this bread that they're seeking, this fill that they're seeking, this satisfaction they're seeking is Him. He's the one who fills. He's the one who satisfies hunger, who gives life. Why do we eat bread? Because we're hungry for something. I don't just eat bread for fun. Oh, I'm bored, I'm going to eat bread for fun. Nobody does that. I don't know, maybe someone does that. We'll pray for you. But we eat bread because we're hungry. Yeah? Why do you eat food? You know, it tastes good and stuff. Well, you're hungry probably. Quiet. We're hungry. That's why we eat bread. Guess what? We're all hungry. You know, you feed your body because your body gets hungry. But guess what? Your soul and your spirit get hungry too. And sometimes we feed our flesh so much and our spirit and our soul is like, what about me? I look like a dead dog right now. I look like a skinny dog. Because we're not feeding it. Skinny dogs are sad. That's a really sad sight. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. So why do we come to so many other things sometimes? I'm guilty of it too. When I'm feeling overwhelmed, when I feel like, man, I'm just hungry. I need something. I need to eat something. What do we go to? Sometimes I distract myself. I'll be honest. Sometimes it's so tempting to distract yourself. Oh, I'm just going to go over here. I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do that. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to do, you know? But He says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He is the bread of life, and believing in Him is also coming to Him. That's the work of God. Believing in Him, that means you come to Him. If you believe, if you truly believe who Jesus is, like, it's going to be hard to keep yourself from coming to Him. If you believe in who He claims to be. It says He is the bread of life. So why would we ever go to anything else to get our fill? When we realize who He is and believe in who He is, it makes us want to come to Him. Amen? Because it's always an invitation. It's always, He's like, you know what He invites us with? He invites us with Himself. He's like, I am enough for you to come to me. I don't need to do a little fishing line and like, oh, come on, a little closer, a little closer. He's not like that. He's like, I'm enough. Look at me and you'll get addicted to me. Taste me as the bread of life and you're never going to want to do anything else. He's enough to fill you. Believing that He is the bread of life that fills us. He is the manifest Word of God. Right? When devil was tempting Him, when He was fasting, when Jesus is hungry. Look, Jesus was hungry too. And what did the devil say? Turn these rocks into loaves. Jesus could have easily done that. He could have been, okay, and they wouldn't be like rocks. They would be nice, soft bread. But what did He say? He didn't give into that temptation knowing that He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. His word is food to us. His word is what fills us. And guess what? Jesus is what fills us because Jesus is the manifestation of God's word. It's His word made flesh. The Bible is His word. His word should lead us to encounter Jesus because He is the word. If we just read and we don't encounter the one behind the pages, then we are missing out on something. If we read the Bible and we don't encounter God, we're missing out on something. We should try to find Jesus in His Word because He is the Word. We need to find Him in the Word. I don't want to just read to read. I want to read to find someone. I want to read to get filled. I want to read so I know Him more. And if you encounter Him in the Scriptures, guess what? You'll get addicted to it. It'll become like better than honey on your lips. I like honey, man. So He says, come to Me. Whoever comes will not hunger, will not thirst. Notice whenever you come to something else, you still hunger, you still thirst, you're still empty, you're still you're longing for something. You still want something more, right? But Jesus is enough. He both sustains and satisfied. Our bodies need bread and water to survive, right? Don't eat bread and water for, 40-day fast, that's pretty long. Don't eat bread and water for more than 40 days, you'll probably die. And it's going to suck, like, during that time. You're going to feel so hungry, so empty, you're going to dream of food. People die from hunger and lack of water. But He is bread and the source of living waters. Look at this. Jesus is the essential thing we need. Jesus is enough to fill us with the bread we need and the water we need. He is food and drink. He is food and drink. Verse 36. But I said to you that you have seen Me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives Me will come to Me, and whoever comes to Me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. And this is the will of Him who sent Me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given Me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of My Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The Father's will is for everyone to look at the Son and believe in the Son and have eternal life. Let us look at Him and believe. Let us behold Him so we can become like Him. That is the will, that we believe. And if we believe, that means we come. And if we come, that means we eat. And if we eat, that means we're filled. Amen? So the Jews, verse 41, so the Jews grumbled about Him because He said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. People got mad, man. They said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Now how does He say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. So we can't even come to God without God. Did you know that? You can't even come to Him without His help. You can't even come to Him without His grace. It says, where is this man? Sorry guys, I lost my place. No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him. He is the one who gives us the invitation to eat. Did you know that? He is the one who gives us the invitation to get filled, to believe, to commune, to draw near to Him. Can we get keyboard? Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. When we eat of His bread, we don't die. And I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I will give him for the life of this world is My flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us His flesh to eat? Thank you. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread that the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Did you know, after he said that, so many people left him? Followers. You know, just because you have a lot of followers doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. You can be doing the right thing and guess what? Have people leave you. Jesus, being the Son of God, doing the will of the Father, people, guess what? People left him. People got offended of him because he's like, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." And they're like, "This is a madman. This guy is crazy." And they got offended and they left him. You know, sometimes when we do the right thing, when we do the will of God, people will leave us. People will leave us. They're like, "This person doesn't, whoa, this person's crazy. This person's doing this. This person, what? And people leave us. People got offended. Many followers left. Jesus is still inviting us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. He said, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." He still invites us to come and eat his flesh and drink his blood. And maybe you're asking, "Johnny, what do you mean by that? What is eating his flesh? What is drinking his blood?" He is the Word made flesh. Eating him means eating the Word. Eating him means coming to him and communing with him. His blood is the covenant that he has given to us. The new covenant. His blood is the life. It says life is in the blood. His blood gives us life. His blood was poured out so we could be white as snow. His blood was poured out so we can have a covenant relationship with him. The New Testament is a covenant relationship with him. Based upon his love and him dying. Based upon his blood being poured out. So my question to you is, what bread do you feed on? What bread do you feed on? When you see all these people, "Let's get this bread." What is this bread that you're trying to get? What is this bread that you're trying to fill yourself up with? What is this bread that you're trying to satisfy your hunger with? Jesus prays, "Give us this day our daily bread." Notice that the daily bread is not just for, bread is not given just for a week. We are to have daily bread. Sometimes we go to Sunday to get our bread and we're good for the week. It's like, "I got my loaf for today. I got my loaf for the week." But there's significance because Jesus prays, "Give us this day our daily bread." Did you know he is your daily bread? He is your daily bread. Do you eat him every day? Do you commune with him? Do you get that bread that he provides and eat it every day? Because you know, throughout our week we can walk in hunger. Throughout our week we can walk being empty. But he invites us every morning to give us our daily bread. Notice the Israelites received manna in the morning. Every morning, that's when God provided manna. Not in the evening, but in the morning. Do you receive your manna every morning? He is the manna from heaven. Do you receive it every morning? You know, sometimes we're walking and we're like, "Man, I don't know why I'm so sad. Why am I so depressed?" And no, those are legit struggles. Those are like real struggles. I've struggled with it. Or I'm always worried. And Jesus is inviting me. He's like, "Here, I provided manna in the morning for you. Just come and get it. Just come and get me." He's like, "Come and get me." He's inviting us to have that daily bread with him. How hungry are you? What is it going to take? You're like, "Man, I have school. I have work, how hungry are you for Him? How hungry are you going to get up earlier to spend time with Him, to get your daily bread? You're like, man, I don't have time. We'll make time for what's important. If we're truly hungry for it, we're going to make time for it. Amen? I'm saying this to myself. If we're truly seeking to get filled in hunger and we know Jesus is the one who hungers, guess what? We'll get early for that manna. We'll get early. We're going to be like, let's get this bread in the morning. What bread do you feed on? His words are spirit and life. It says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Your flesh will not help you in the morning. It'll say, lay down 5 more minutes, and that turns into an hour. Your flesh does not want. Your spirit is crying out, God, I need you. Your spirit is crying out for the bread of life, and your flesh does not help at all. You have to kill your flesh. You got to be like, I don't know what it's going to take. But you have to get over yourself saying, no, I'm going to make my body a slave right now, and I'm going to do it because I know my spirit is hungry for that. I know my soul is hungry for Jesus. Amen? So let's rise to our feet. Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. See, when you tasted the bread, when you've already eaten the Word of God, you're like, I don't want to go anywhere else anymore. Every other bread is, everything that I try to feed on does not satisfy. Peter's like, where do I want to be in that situation when things come up, hard times come up, and people are starting to leave. And I go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't know where else to go but you, because you have the words of eternal life. You're the one who gives me life. You're the one who satisfies me. So my invitation to you, it's not even my invitation, but it's an invitation from Him, is to come, is to eat His flesh, to drink His blood. It's to have communion with Him. It's to come to eat of His bread. It's coming in the morning to eat the manna of heaven. It's coming in the morning to read His word. It's coming in the morning to be in His presence. It's coming in the morning to be filled. It's continually coming, not even in the morning, but in the evening, in the noon. All the days of your life is to come to Him. Because He's always inviting us, come to me. And so oftentimes, He comes to us first. He's not going to ask you something that He's not done Himself. He's already came to us and He's asking us to come to Him. Amen? Jesus is enough. He sustains, He satisfied, He is the bread of life. Just as they had extra baskets, how much more is He more than enough? Did you know when He gave thanks and gave food, people didn't just get His fill. There's leftovers. Jesus is enough to fill you and overflow you. He's more than enough. He's not just like, that brings me so hope. That means you can never get enough Jesus. Like, oh Jesus, I'm full already. Like, no, like you're gonna want to get more full and more full and more full, and you'll be addicted to Jesus. Amen. So let us pray. And I just want to pray that we would have this hunger and that we would have this revelation that He is the bread of life and that He is the one who fills and satisfies.